Hello and welcome to the Leaders in Clean Tech podcast. Each week, our host, David Hunt, speaks to a leading startup CEO, executive, or thought leader in the clean tech sector. Focused on the clean energy and clean mobility transitions, each guest shares the highs and lows of their clean tech journey, their industry insights, and their vision and hopes for the future.
Hello, I'm David Hunt, CEO and founder of Hyperion Executive Search and your host for this bite-sized Leaders in Clean Tech podcast. I'm delighted to be joined today to explore the funding scene in clean tech for Q1 with someone who has more insights than most in this area, Federico Cristoforini, who's the CEO and founder of Net Zero Insights. Federico, great to have you with us.
Hi, David. It's a pleasure to be here with you today. Thank you for the invite.
Cool. So we obviously have been knowing each other for some time, and these guys have some fantastic insights into and tools to access the clean tech environment. And I just wanted to have the opportunity to share some of the themes and key issues that came up from your Q1 report, because it's quite interesting that obviously the funding scenario has been very different for the last 9, 12, 18 months. And there are some key themes that clearly you highlighted in your report, and I think it'd be useful for our audience to explore some of those. So perhaps before we do that, you can just tell us very briefly about Net Zero Insights and how you came to found the company, and what's your purpose in the world?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that will give additional context to the audience, so it's a good place to start. So Net Zero Insights is a market intelligence platform exclusively specialized on climate innovation, climate tech, clean tech, if there is a positive use of a technology, process, or innovation, and it's a private company, we should and we want to have information about these organizations. The tool is targeted to investors, but also service providers and corporate, governments, so researchers, so everyone who needs access to understand this very important and complicated transition on the innovation side is a potential user of our platform. As you said, we also do a lot of research based on this massive database that we keep up to date and improve day by day. But on a quarterly basis, we send out these reports that we call the State of Climate Tech. And in there, it's a fairly long report. The yearly one is over 200 pages. But today I'll focus on the key takeaways. But I'm happy to tell you a bit more about our fundings.
Sure. No, I look forward to that. And obviously, we'll point the audience to the report so you can access that full report online. We'll make sure those links are in the episode page. But let's look at that, because obviously the funding world has been different. Certainly, one of the key themes that I've seen and you highlighted in the report is that there's less deals, but there are more bigger deals. Perhaps you can share a little bit about what your insights have been and what's behind that.
Yeah, we've been seeing this trend for a few quarters, so less and less deals. The Q1 was the least amount of early stage deals in a while, which is not a very positive sign for VC, of course. But just to take a step back and give a bit of context around this, 2021 was a record year for VC investment in general, so beyond climate, very high valuation, maybe suspiciously high valuations, capital for everyone. So funding and the number, the activity went up for everyone in the industry. But the beginning of 2022, Ukraine war, very uncertain economic conditions, higher interest rates, high inflation, all of this meant that the market went down and the tech market went even more down than the rest of the market. So all of this set a very bad ground for early stage investment, VC investment, because from one day to the other, it became very expensive and very unlikely to reach the valuation that they got used to. So all of that meant that it was harder to raise capital for startups, funds, and so on. And we have been seeing this caution in the market and definitely less investments over time. Hopefully this will stop soon, but this has been the trend. Climate tech was touched as well, I would say less than the rest of the industry. But there is a lot to do there. So it's a massive opportunity. And this is just it's just slowing us down, but doesn't change the mission and the speed that we need to achieve. But yeah, so this is on the early stage size. And the counterpart is that the companies that have been doing very well for the last years and the ones that keep raising capital are especially good companies that are reaching scale for their technologies. And then they need more and more capital to deploy more facilities, build more plants, build infrastructure, which is, of course, very expensive. And then, yeah, that's what we have seen, like a lot of very large rounds. Five of those were even above 1 billion. So we call them giga rounds. And yeah, so it's pretty exciting to see, you know, that so much is happening and in two opposite directions, essentially.
The Leasing Cleantech podcast is brought to you by Hyperion Executive Search. Hyperion is a specialist executive search firm working with some of the most innovative cleantech companies in the world. Partnering with leading cleantech VCs, as well as directly with founders and entrepreneurs in the sector, with our clients, we are driving and enabling a strong and prosperous cleantech economy. Yeah, it's interesting because for a long time, people were talking about, you know, there was, as you say, in the sort of 21, 22 year, a lot of VC funding, a lot of growth funding, early stage funding. And the complaint was that there was not enough growth capital. There's not enough of the later stage capital. Now that's kind of flipped. So on one hand, as you say, there's less deals, but they're bigger. Allude a little bit more or share a little bit more about that, because in the report, we were talking about the sort of the giga deals you touched on and the mega deals, which have obviously skewed out the overall numbers positively. But I guess it's changed the dynamic of the marketplace. So can you share anything about those giga and mega deals and where and how they've been landing in terms of the sectors and the geographies that they've happened?
Yeah, of course. So the dynamics have indeed changed. VCs are one important actor. They mostly invest equity. We've also seen more policy coming into place. The IRA in the US is a very good example, but there are very strong incentives in Europe, in the UK, and really everywhere in the world. So more free money for technology developers, R&D companies, and so on. So that's one bit. And the other thing is that these companies that achieve this scale are essentially entering into the realm of project finance, and project finance needs debt, even though they are venture-backed companies. So it's a new capital stack, let's say, that it's evolving into this direction. And so when we refer to these mega and giga rounds, oftentimes it's not only equity. It can be a mix of equity, debt, and big grants, or of course only debt or only equity. But I think this is an important point to keep in mind in relation to where this capital is going. Well, we have to think of very mature solutions, so technology proven, you know, like scale proven companies and technologies. Think about EV, the charging infrastructure to support the adoption of the EVs, but also batteries, manufacturing and production, solar, wind. So yeah, all these technologies that are ready, cheap, available and function well, now it's deployment time, and therefore we need scale and therefore access to capital, which is not, usually it's not the one that VC have, you know, it doesn't simply match the economics of VCs.
Exactly. Yeah. Now we've been fortunate. We have a few clients who have achieved mega rounds, and one or two actually, well, certainly one that's achieved a giga round, as you put it. So it's, as you say, but that's coming where there's already traction, right? So that's one of the challenges for the marketplace, as we've already touched on, for the VCs and for those early stage companies. It's that there's still a lot more caution, but where you have traction, where you have proven technology, where you have some, you know, confirmed revenues, that's where suddenly I've started to see the PE firms coming, the big infrastructure funds who can drop this kind of money, both from, as you say, from an equity, but increasingly from a debt perspective. So that's an interesting trend. I noticed very much in the last few months and in the last report, but you're saying that's something that you've started to see in the data for slightly longer?
Yes, I would say that was essentially the trend over 2023. And then Q1 2024 was even clearer. So the same trend has been confirmed, and it's always so the non-dilutive massive rounds keep increasing, and these companies keep raising and raising more and more often, while the actual deal count of earlier stage investments is actually decreasing. So these two trends are becoming stronger. Hopefully, the early stage deal count and investment activity will recover in the industry. There is optimism about the second half of the year. Hopefully, that's the case.
Let's hope so. Let's hope so. What other trends I'd like to explore with you, Federico, is also geographic. So, of course, the IRA, as you alluded to before, has impacted in a positive way the market in the US. But looking at the data, and I know there were some mega rounds, particularly in Sweden with some of those companies there, but Europe seems to be holding its own from a funding perspective at the moment overall.
Absolutely, yes. So out of these five giga rounds, so $1 billion plus, four of the five companies were indeed European. It was Northvolt, which is raising every second, H2 Green Steel, as well as been doing this incredible project and convincing everyone, but also Enpal and ACC, automotive sales company in France. So four out of five based in Europe, against the odds and the convenience of a IRA. So we see many companies in Europe also being attracted to all that easy accessible capital, but very important companies doubling down and raising more and more. This is a special quarter where Europe is standing out, and the US is a bit below. Of course, the US has a lot of similar cases and access to many forms of capital. But we have seen some very big outliers, so H2 Green Steel and Northvolt, which are indeed Swedish, and they keep raising.
Hyperion Executive Search not only provides access to exceptional talent, we also help our clients access venture capital, private equity, and strategic investments. For more information, reach out to me directly at david.hunt@hyperionsearch.com. Substantial sums. Yeah. So looking at that US mix again, because some of the big infrastructure and PE firms are essentially US orientated or US headquartered companies, but they're increasingly placing bets and supporting the European clean tech infrastructure.
Well, I of course Europe has always seen the US as the home for VC innovation, technology in general, and that's where our own ecosystem has been learning from. I think oftentimes American investors are not necessarily looking at Europe as they should be seeing it, especially in the clean tech or climate area, where I think for once we do have an advantage in terms of mindset, policy, the consumer demands, and all the R&D infrastructure that we have access to. So a lot is happening in Europe. There are many challenges, and usually, as you mentioned, access to growth capital was one of them. I think that was especially true in terms of equity. So there is always room for improvement. The moment when commercial and investment banks step in, it might be an opportunity for these great European companies to compete in terms of ecosystem with the US. But we are all the same mission for everyone. So from my point of view, the more companies are successful and deploy low carbon technologies and the more breakthroughs we have, the better for everyone. So it doesn't matter where it comes from.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, we're very much geography agnostic and have clients, fortunately, globally in the same mission that you have and you share, and obviously the companies you report on share. Perhaps, again, it's quite a long report, but it's very much well worth it. Obviously, it's extremely well laid out, lots of graphical analysis as well as textual analysis that people can read and share. But what were perhaps some of the other highlights or some of the key themes that you spotted from the report that people should in particular perhaps keep an eye on?
Yeah, I think a special analysis that we did is to break funding down in a special framework. It's a new methodology, which is looking at one side, physical versus digital solutions. So everything touching upon tangible solutions and usually service and software enabled solutions, and whether they focus on breakthrough solutions or adoption solutions. So say it like that, it's a bit complicated, but the idea is that we see the intersection of these two axes. We get a very interesting picture of where the market is going and what kind of capital is required to finance each of these solutions, which of course have a very, very different needs, right?
So. Yeah. Yeah. Now, there's a really couple of great graphs that illustrate that very clearly. And again, that's something that kind of, I guess, picks on what you touched so far. A lot of later stage funding, typically for infrastructure, which is typically, again, for physical assets or physical technologies. And the VC market, which traditionally has been chasing the SaaS or the digital only solutions, has obviously suffered. So again, a broader reflection of what you're saying there is there's a skew towards larger infrastructure and towards scale rather than innovation.
100%, yes. That's definitely what we are seeing. Truth to be told, we also see more and more VCs that find a way to make the economics work and are financing more breakthrough or hardware companies and are actually being very important in shaping the industry and supporting companies at the early stages and up to the growth and infrastructure levels. We need more of everything.
Yeah, absolutely. More of it. What was the film that was out recently? Everything All the Time Everywhere kind of thing. So we just need so much more at all scales. But it's great to see that level of granular detail that you're collecting and sharing, because I think it really helps the market, and in particular those who are looking for funding, to look at how and where they can position themselves or where they need to be to get funding at the present time. Of course, it's always fluid and no doubt will change during the course of the year, but these trends are fairly significant that we've just touched on. Listen, Federico, thanks very much for sharing those ideas and thoughts. Clearly, the report, as I say, is in full, and we'll share that in the episode pages so people can access that full report. Of course, we'll share links for you and your team as well. Great work that you're doing. We love working with you and having the conversations that we have. But thanks for sharing a little bit of the highlights from that report, and hopefully everyone can go and have a deep dive in and see exactly the state of the cleantech market. But thanks for joining me and thanks for sharing.
Thank you so much. Very happy we took the time to chat.